Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes, from setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Bird Show.
After the date, you found out something really shocking or scary or interesting about the guy or the girl that you went out with. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. The reason why I'm asking that is fascinating show on Netflix right now that these guys turned me on to. Woman of the Hour. Whoa! Blow you away! Blow you away! Now, what?
Nothing.
So it's based on a true story in the 1970s of a serial killer. And I'm going to be really careful about some of the details, right? But it's a serial killer in the 70s that ends up, this guy was so twisted. This dude ends up on a national TV show, the dating game, way back in the day, where he gets set up on a date with somebody and he has committed all of these murders before he ends up going on the date. And all I could think of is the way that they present it. And then I realized this morning that it's not all based on complete fact. But imagine being out with a guy and then finding out just days later that this dude has killed 100 people.
Oh, I can imagine. This is my reality. When I'm sharing my location with all my friends before I meet some loser I met on the internet, I am letting them know where I'm going, my direct coordinates, what time I'm going to be home, because the reality is you don't know who these dudes are when you go out with
right.
them.
Right. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Now, this can go a bunch of different ways. You could have found out, like, maybe you're watching TV, and then there he is on TV, had committed some crime. Or it could go the other way also. Like, you go out with a guy, you know what, you're not vibing, then you find out 2 weeks later that the dude's worth $1 billion.
Oh, yeah. Wait, this has literally happened to me. No, it didn't. Deadass. Can I tell this story?
Yeah,
it's kind of lengthy.
Yeah.
So this is my sophomore year of college, and I had this crush on this guy in this fraternity. It was, his name was like Chad or something, like super D-baggy. And there was this other guy who was also in the fraternity who made a move on me while I was at this party trying to get the other guy's attention. He literally approaches me by grabbing my hand and kissing it like this is medieval times. And he's like, hey, there's another party for the same fraternity going on at an off-campus house. We should go hang out. And the entire night, it's so evident that he's like trying to like get to know me. He's being so respectful. He brings out his guitar. He's playing like some fun songs.
No, he does not.
Yeah, in like a non-D-bag way, in kind of like a funny like ha-ha, like I know, like self-aware way.
So like an on-purpose ick?
Yes. And he's like, I'm sober. I don't drink. He's like, do y'all want to like play like a fun card game or something? Just lovely dude. But I'm so enraptured with this dude that I'm like, I wish I was at the other party. So anyway, long story short, I end up kind of blowing this guy off regrettably because he was tall and cute and gentlemanly. But I was so obsessed with the other dude, I couldn't see straight. So there was this website back in the day called Total Frat Move. It's sort of like Barstool Sports. And I saw a headline that said, Rockefeller great grandsons will pay you $100,000 to start an app or something along those lines. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Let me click on it. The head photo is this man that I just spent an entire evening with blowing off. And turns out he's literally a Rockefeller.
Come on.
I will pull up the article for receipts.
I believe you, man.
So anyway, I could be, you know, in New York right now living off this man's paycheck. And instead I'm here.
You mean his trust fund?
His trust fund, yes.
You try to double back, spin the block?
No, I mean, a couple of times because I used to hang out at that fraternity a lot and I was always just like, hey.
Should hit him back.
Then he had a girlfriend by then.
Should have hit him back going, oh, I did a Google search on you. I didn't realize you were a Rockefeller. Let's go out again.
Let's try this again.
So let's talk about this show for a second because, Mo, you've seen it, right?
I have.
Have you seen it yet, Abby?
I have seen it,
you
yes.
You have seen it. And you too, Krista?
I have not had a chance to watch it yet.
Okay. The way that this thing shapes up is so gripping to watch the entire time and so freaky, especially for somebody like you that is still dating. How this guy was so crazy to do the things he did, obviously, but so charming to get date after date after date, and so arrogant that he's like, I'm going to go on a national dating show and get a date. That'll be who my next victim is.
It takes hiding in plain sight to like a whole other level. And if you I don't even dabble in true crime. I'm fully immersed in true crime. And you watch shows because, you know, the FBI started a whole entire department focused on serial killers. They're the ones that coined the phrase and trying to, like, get into the psyche so you can prevent any of this from happening. And a lot of serial killers are very, very charming individuals. That is how they lure their victims in.
I thought they did a great job of capturing that with, like, if you've never seen a dating game, you got the three contestants and they're asked questions. And the three guys have to try to come up with the most, like, witty answers for these questions. And he was so much more charming than the other guys because, obviously, he was using this charm to do what he was doing. And it just goes to show you just how charming they really can be.
He was even telling one of the other contestants, he's like, I always get the girl.
Yeah, you might as well go home, bro.
Ooh, and the double meaning in
yes,
that.
The double entendre.
It's a really good show. I wouldn't watch it right before you go to sleep, but it's called Woman of the Hour, and it's on Netflix.
The Burt Show.
Hi, Mo. So you feel like you're losing a friend here, and it's your fault. Nobody to blame but yourself.
Yeah, I think I might be stepping into psycho a little bit.
Aw, welcome.
Yeah.
It's a fun place to be.
Okay, I'm about to find out because I think I always make fun of people who find themselves in these situations, and now I'm the guy who has done something good for my friend, but I think in doing something good for him, I didn't do something good for myself. And it's all because I think I might have actually set it up for my dude to fall in love.
Now
I regret it.
But you might be a matchmaker.
It? Why? Because he's not spending as much time with you now?
I ain't seen him since. I am about to be selfish here. See, okay, now this is the thing. This guy's one of my best friends, right? And he has been single now for a couple of years. And I felt bad throughout this journey because of the way that our lives have aligned. Right as I was going into a relationship, he was getting out of one. So I was trying to balance between, like, okay, I have to give a certain amount of time and energy, obviously, to my now new relationship, but I also want to make time to be there for my guy who is trying to navigate through one just ending that he was in forever. So I have literally felt like always, every time I bring him around, he doesn't say it, but I know a part of him feels like the third wheel. Like, it's just always different energy. And at first, he didn't mind it, but then after a while, it was like, man, I can't make it. I'm not going to come out. And a part of me was wondering, like, maybe he'll never tell me that. But he probably feels like I don't want to always feel like I'm intruding on you and your relationship. So it became like this, almost this thing where unconsciously I'm saying to myself, I got to find him a lady. I got to find somebody where we can all kick it together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm watching him go through this journey of the last, like, year of dating. And I'm trying to remember some of the dates or some of the women that he ended up dating. Like, there was the woman who eventually he found out had hit both of her exes with a car. And she claims they were both accidents. But I don't know how you accidentally hit two of your boyfriends with a car.
One is an accident. Two is a problem.
Some things you shouldn't be too consistent with. Then there was the woman who he later found out. And I don't know if it was just jarring, I think, to him because she didn't tell him. But he found out after dating for a while that she is actually a professional sniper.
No way!
A professional sniper.
She's military?
Yes.
I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm turned on or not.
That's
scared or turned on?
I was terrified.
I don't know why I asked him if that's military, because any like that, it should only be military.
As opposed to the for-hire snipers?
Right. That's the only way that could go.
I'm like, please tell me she's military.
Nah, she's just really good at COD.
Which she is. That's how he found out. Because she was so good at Call of Duty that he was like, oh, you play this often, huh? And she was like, well,
in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up.
These are the kind of women he's running into. There was the woman who sent him videos of herself having fun. And then literally the next day, we were all hanging out at a bar and she walks in with a boyfriend that he didn't know she had.
Okay. Okay.
That happened.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's the one we all know about where he was dating someone and she had a lot of money and she also had a jet.
Oh, yeah.
But she wanted a two-finger discount.
Yep, yep. Right. Yep, yep, yep.
Then there's that. So I say all of this to say.
The two-finger discount. You had to hear the first part of that story to know how funny that is.
If you know, you know, right? So I say all of that to say, I have made it a mission. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I got to find this man a good woman.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I have to figure this out because he can't do it for himself.
I mean, the bar is set pretty low.
At this point, okay. Right? And these are the women he chose when he was on his own.
There's nothing wrong with a sniper.
No, not at all. Yeah. Fear is the thing.
Yeah, just the killing part.
Yeah, the whole, and at least want to see you if you got an opportunity to do something to me. Like, that scares me. So we're out randomly one night. We're coming home. And right before we're about to get into the car, we're in the parking lot, and I walk past these two ladies. And one of them says hello. I say hello. And then she said something to me that caught my attention. I don't remember what it was, but it was like an energy that she gave, and it just felt warm. I can't even explain it, but it was just like someone should know. I should know her, but mm-hmm. I can't because mm-hmm. I'm taken. My dude is not.
Like warm and playful, almost like him.
Exactly like
him. Comfortable.
That's what it was given. Like she gave the kind of energy that he gives.
Uh-huh. Sometimes you can feel a personality, like positive vibes before one word is said. It's rare, but it can happen.
Exactly that. So,
and he's one of those people. Like when you're around him, you just immediately feel at ease because uh-huh. he's just a warm, playful individual.
Absolutely. So I went, we go and we get in the car. He was already in the car waiting for me. And I was like, bro, this is probably going to feel crazy, but I really think you should go try to talk to this woman that I just had a little encounter with. And he's like, why? And I'm like, just do it, man. You have nothing to lose. Every time you have chose somebody, it has gone left. Just do me this favor and go holler at her. So he does. He goes. He comes back with a smile on his face. They exchange numbers. I'm thinking, OK, cool. That was maybe 2 months ago. I have not seen him since.
Nuh-uh.
They've been together like literally maybe 4 times a week. The weekends come around. I used to see my guy at least once every weekend. Yeah. I have not seen him. He's so happy. Every time I call him, he's in a whole different. It's to the point where I never even thought I would feel this as a guy. Hmm. But a part of me is like, we're concerned for him because I've never seen him like this.
He's all in.
Like, he won't admit it, but it's there. And it's obvious and it's apparent. And it appears that she's giving him the same energy. They're connecting on the same level.
Yep.
And I'm super happy for him, but I miss him.
We got to break these two up.
I got to get her out of there.
All I know is I'm watching Abby. She's like, so you can do that for him, but you can't do it for me.
Abby,
yeah.
I'm working. I got you. Okay. I didn't know I had this magic until now. Now I got to use it.
You
I
got a gift.
The Burt Show.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This ain't soccer. This is the reason why Americans don't like soccer. We hate ties, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can be no tie. There has to be a winner. There has to be a loser. Look, this is America. This is 2024. Somebody has to feel good. Somebody has to feel bad. That said, it's all in between Rebecca and Tommy, and I can see who's taking this very seriously, and it's Rebecca.
Kermit the Frog here.
I'm stressed up as Kermit today.
It ain't easy being green, is it, Rebecca?
No. Why have one Halloween costume when you can have two or three or a whole week's worth is my question.
Both of these guys have been bragging that they love scary movies, and at this point, they've seen so many of them. They're unaffected, not even affected by scary movies. Have so much knowledge in their noggins about scary movies.
So today on The Burt Show, we are going to have a battle royale to see who is the king or queen of horror films. Will it be our show director, Tommy? Or will it be our social media producer, Rebecca?
You got Rebecca dressed up as Kermit today, and Tommy is the offensive coordinator for NC State.
Now, here's the thing. There was more than pride on the line for the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever loses this trivia game about horror movies and horror films, tomorrow, You're going to have to wear a jack-o'-lantern head for the entire show.
Now, are we talking a real
pumpkin?
Yes. Yeah, man, you got to smell that pumpkin.
Who's going to get this thing?
Yes. You do. Whoever
I'm not
loses.
Buying my own pumpkin to put on my head.
You won't even have to worry about it if you're going to win.
Part of the bet. We're not going to give more work to other people. If whoever loses on your way home, you got to swing by a Kroger or a Publix or an Ingles, and you got to get yourself a giant pumpkin, and you got to carve that thing out and bring it in tomorrow.
It's going to have to be giant to put on this.
You got a pretty big bean there, man.
Yep. And you're going to.
My head was this size when I was 5 years old.
Oh,
I looked like a walking bobblehead. I look like a real life caricature.
God bless your mama and her
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right.
So to make this fair,
do we both agree to the payoff of this bet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. All right. So I have the questions right here. I have contestant one and contestant two. I haven't given either one of you like specific questions. So to make this fair, I'm going to put my hand behind my back and it's either going to be a one or a two. Okay. So odd or even. Rebecca, I'm going to let you choose odd or even. Which do you think it is? And if you get it right, you get to choose whether you're contestant one or contestant two.
Odd.
All right. It is odd.
Okay. I'm going to go first.
You got your number one. I thought it was going to be your middle finger.
It would have been it if you got it right.
Yeah. So you would like to be contestant one?
Yes.
Got it. All right. Rebecca is contestant one.
I think that should be that's the end of the game. Tommy has to wear the jack-o'-lantern.
I'm fine with that.
She got the number right.
All right. Now, here's the deal. This is going to be just like our other trivia games we've done. I have questions for each of you. You have 5 seconds to answer it.
Yep.
If you don't or get it wrong, the other person can steal the point, okay?
I want to say I'm a little invested here, and I think we probably all are in that. Tommy, I do love you. I love you with all my heart. However, you're so passionate when the rest of the show has to do a bet payoff. Mm-hmm. The pain entices you, intoxicates you, that I am hoping that Rebecca wins today just so you can feel what we feel.
Don't worry, I will.
Okay.
All right. Are we ready to play a little horror movie trivia? Round one. Rebecca, what is the name of the summer camp where Friday the 13th takes place?
Camp Crystal Lake.
That is correct.
Not even a breath there. No knew hesitation. It before she was even done.
Tommy.
Yes.
Round one. What is the name of the hotel Jack Torrance is hired to care for in The Shining?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And I'm a huge Stephen King fan. The Overlook Hotel.
That is correct.
Good for you. Nice rebound.
Made you think I didn't know.
All right, this round, we're starting with Tommy.
How many questions? We're going to five? Is that what the deal is?
No, just whoever has the most points at the end.
Okay.
You always ask me this, and I don't know ever how to answer
85
it.
85 questions, Bert.
There's 10 questions. There's 10 points up for grabs. Whoever has the most points wins.
Okay. Okay. And if it's 5-5?
And if it's a tie, then what's coming?
I don't know. Tommy, round two.
Yep.
Which actor appears in all these horror movies? The Purge, Sinister, and The Black Phone.
Ethan Hawke.
That is correct.
Good for you, bro. Good for you guys are. Pretty amazing at this. I never even heard of half those movies.
By the way, all these questions, I don't watch horror movies. We got them from Reader's Digest.
What was the one we just watched at my house? That was
Sinister.
Sinister. Wait, we just watched.
Reader's Digest. If you got them from there, that puts Tommy at a tremendous advantage. Because he's the only one that would remember Reader's Digest from back in the day.
It was Reader's Digest online.
Okay.
All right, Rebecca, your question for round two. Who plays Pennywise in 2017's It?
Bill Skarsgård.
That is correct.
Damn.
Y'all rock stars.
All right. We're starting with Rebecca this round. Round three. Rebecca, what is the highest grossing horror movie of all time?
Oh, no. The highest grossing horror movie of all time. Oh, my God.
Everybody knows it's Titanic.
The highest grossing horror movie of all time. It?
That is correct.
Right out the booty.
Tommy, round three. What was the first horror movie to win the Best Picture Oscar?
horror movie to win the Best Picture Oscar?
Man, I think I even know this one.
Silence of the Lambs?
That is correct.
Oh, no. Dang.
See, I wouldn't consider that a horror movie. I would consider that like a psychological thriller.
I thought it was going to be The Birds.
All right, round four. We are all tied up 3-3. Mm. I do have a plan, by the way. It's probably a flawed one, but whatever. All right, round four. Tommy. Mm-hmm. Which two horror movie franchises were first video game series?
Which two? I have to name both?
Mm-hmm. Which two? Because she has a question that has two answers as well. Which two horror movie franchises were first video game series?
Oh, God. I know one of them.
If I were you, I'd be strategic. I
think it's Mila Jovovich, isn't it? son of a bitch.
I believe that's 5 seconds.
I don't know.
I think that was the name of the movie.
That tripped me up. I just got stuck on her.
Uh-huh. All right, Rebecca, for the steal, which two horror movie franchises were first video game series?
Silent Hill and Resident Evil.
That's correct. Oh,
no, Tom. Whoa, Resident okay, Kermit. Evil.
That's the one. That was the only one I knew.
You starting to panic a little bit, Tom?
No.
Okay. Rebecca 4, Tommy 5. Round 4, this is your question, Rebecca, because that one was a steal. Which two slashers faced off against one another in a movie released in 2003?
Jason versus Freddy.
I need their full names, please.
Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees.
That is correct. No sweat. All right. Rebecca has 5. Tommy has 3. There's still 2 points up for grabs. Rebecca, this is your question for round 5. Get it wrong, Tommy's still in the game. If you get it, you win. And Tommy's wearing a giant jack-o'-lantern head all day tomorrow during the show. Last question. Rebecca, in The Purge, how long does the annual purge last?
Well, you'd think it's 24 hours, but in fact, it's 12.
That is correct.
Yes. Tommy. Yes. Tommy. Look at his
He's upset.
Okay, so we're going to have to find somebody that can put two pumpkins together.
This is nothing. I've worn a chicken thong before.
The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
He will take this so personally. He'll be thinking about this most of the day. They're looking up. They can't even look back.
Oh, my dummy. Okay, let's talk about Australian breakdancer Raygun, because she has an opportunity for you to win $10,000. All you have to do is be a better dancer than her.
Some of you think you can do better than me.
Yep.
Really? Let's find out, shall we?
And then that little ad shows her dancing, and it's just kind of like the most basic. It's like what I learned in hip-hop 101 in second grade.
So I almost feel bad for her, because like all that stuff hit at the Olympics of her coming out representing Australia as a breakdancer and it not going very well,
there
to say the least.
So much heat in her country. She didn't even go straight home, right?
Yeah.
Didn't she go somewhere else?
Well, she had already planned on vacationing in Europe for a bit prior to going back to Australia.
That was the plan.
It was a good plan. Yeah.
But now we fast forward to Halloween. And there are so many new viral videos of people dressed up as her imitating her dance moves that she's having to relive this all over again.
Well, she brought it on herself.
Yeah, she did.
Well, the World Dance Sport Federation saw how much heat she was getting online and actually offered her mental health support. Oh. But it seems like she's laughing all the way to the bank, because now she's got this competition where basically people can post videos of themselves dancing online and tag the specific hashtag to be able to enter the competition. And like the number one solo dancer is going to get like $5,000 US. But if you do it as a duo, you guys can get $10,000 to split between the two of you.
So who is choosing the winner?
Assuming Raygun, but it's all through a company called Finderbeat. So basically you just have to tag them with the hashtag Raygun Challenge when you post your video, and also follow Finderbeat on social media.
The winner seems flawed.
I know, right? But I'm going to go home today, and I'm gonna get Jimmy to show me some of his best breakdancing moves, and I'm going to post it.
If we were going to choose one Burt Show cast member to enter the breakdancing challenge, Who should we post on? I feel like we should enter the competition.
To win it or to be ridiculous?
Both.
Well, to be ridiculous, it's Bert.
Yeah, me ridiculous. My hips don't work.
Didn't Tommy break dance back in the day?
Oh, yeah. He's good.
Wait, should we get Tommy to do the Reggae Challenge? Yeah.
Tommy's got
he can redeem
in
himself.
In his jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, break dancing jack-o'-lantern?
Yes. That's a winner, man.
Don't you remember on the CW back in the day, the dancing jack-o'-lantern head? Oh, please tell me you guys remember that.
I don't think that I watched 1 minute of the CW ever.
It was a commercial for like their spooky season, and he's like wearing a black outfit and he had a jack-o'-lantern head and he was just sitting there doing
I watched the CW, but I don't remember.
That was like childhood. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, so moving on from Ray Gunn, Liam Payne's collaborator for a song that he announced yesterday that he was going to release for him posthumously. He decided to cancel it for obvious reasons because, you know, it's a little tone deaf. Like, he's only been passed away for about a week or two. So this news came out yesterday that a collaborator of Liam Payne was going to release a song that they had been working on together. It's called Do No Wrong, and he thought that this was going to be a huge blessing for his family. He posted on social media. He said, "I pray that this song eclipses the negative echoes. I pray supernatural positive healing power will embrace each and every one of you." He hopes that it's a blessing for the family, but really what people saw it as is you're trying to capitalize off this massive news that Liam Payne has passed away. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed very, very tone deaf. So he actually retracted it and said, "Not only am I going to pause the release, but all proceeds are going to go to the charity of his family's choosing."
Yeah, speaking of tone deaf, we talked about this in studio yesterday. Don't think a Liam Payne costume is going to be funny at Halloween. Don't think that a P. Diddy costume is going to be funny on Halloween. You were talking about some people that have already been busted for this.
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and it was supposed to be a funny-ish tweet. Somebody tweeted, somewhere out there, there's a white person planning a Halloween costume that's going to absolutely ruin their future. And then somebody quote tweeted it, and it was a costume of a white person dressed as P. Diddy with blackface with somebody who was dressed up as a Johnson & Johnson baby oil bottle. So be mindful, be very respectful, be very demure when you're choosing your Halloween costumes. Don't choose something that is going to ruin your future and be offensive to thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there.
Instead, dress up like the CW pumpkin guy.
There it is.
Look, I do remember that. Yeah,
I mean,
do.
That could be Tommy tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tommy's got moves, man.
Yes.
Wait, why does that... Is that not from... Didn't Tom Hanks do some kind of SNL sketch with...
It was something different because he was wearing like the pumpkin suit or whatever.
Yes, like David S. Pumpkins or something like that.
Yeah, that was... Oh, man, you remember...
I remember now. Yeah. I'm shocked that you remembered that, but I do. Now I'm seeing it.
This is the crap that lives rent-free in my head, but I couldn't tell you half the things I needed to vote for when I went in to vote yesterday.
It's my one final brain cell fighting for its life at 9:38 before the show ends. All right, for more stories, head to the Bert Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Bert Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It has been my experience with therapy that it only works if you go into that office and you just verbally and emotionally throw up everything. Things come out of your mouth or you're like, oh, I'm so embarrassed for myself. But you got to be 100% honest. And then when your therapist guides you, the second part of this whole thing is let them guide you and take their advice. When you take their advice, good things happen. Abby just learned this lesson.
Who would have thought when you go to therapy and apply it to your real life, it makes a difference?
How about it?
Now, famously, I have been avoiding therapy for probably 5 or 6 months just because it's expensive. And also, I feel like I'm so self-aware that I'm like, I know what my problems are and I know I probably should be talking to somebody about it. But if I could just do it like the budget way and just ruminate on it enough that I guess eventually something will get figured out, I'd rather do that.
I know you'd rather do that. I just saw a video that rumination is a number one sign of depression. So be careful about your rumination.
Well, you know I'm depressed. So
exactly.
The call is coming from inside the studio.
And I think with therapy, you go to therapy because you already know you have a problem. You have an issue, right? So it's not about figuring out the issue or the problem. It's about getting the tools to fix that problem.
And I question even the theory of self-awareness.
You're saying I'm not self-aware?
I'm not saying you. I'm saying the theory in general, right?
It's starting to sound like you think I'm not self-aware.
No, it's not you. It's not. So self-awareness, as defined, is you looking at yourself and analyzing yourself and being aware of what you know, but you're seeing it through your own lens.
Yeah, but I mean, also, I feel like I'm objective. I feel like that is one of my strongest points, is I'm very objective. I'm not somebody that sees things through the lens frequently of like my own experiences. I feel like I can typically see things from like a 30,000 point viewpoint, which is why I think I've just, again, avoided it, which this is a whole other conversation. But I think I'm at a place where talking about what's going on in my life isn't necessarily the thing that's going to be fixing it, if that makes sense.
But talking about it allows a third party to see it from a different angle and offer insights into ways that you could probably manage it better.
Listen, Kristen, I have a cat to pay for. She just cost me $1,000 because her stomach got a little upset. Mommy can't afford to go to therapy to talk about her sad feelings when she knows that she's sad. So anyway.
Just another trip to Dublin. That's all you need.
Honestly, that's what I need, is another trip to just distract myself from my sad boy feelings. So anyway, back to the original point of my story is I was reflecting on a therapy session I had a while back ago where I really got some advice that I was reluctant to take at first. And then when I started using it, I was kind of like, oh, that's actually like very beneficial. Shout out to therapists I've been to in the last year. I know some of them are listeners. You're really helpful. I'm only avoiding you because I'm broke. But she gave me this really great piece of advice that I used in Pilates of all places. So I recently switched from going to like high intensity workout classes and started going to Pilates because it's a little bit more low impact. It's really hard. And I have been suffering. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I have been suffering through my Pilates transition. It is some of the worst pain I've been in my entire life. I don't know.
More so than Orange Theory and lifting heavy weights? This is tougher.
Huh. This is the hardest thing I have ever done. And the worst part about it is I feel like it perfectly encapsulates the female experience, where we're all just miserable and in so much pain, but we're all in our cute little outfits and we're all silent. Like, that's the worst part of Pilates, is that nobody, I'm in the corner like mouthing obscenities. I'm like, and everyone else is just there like looking so cute in their little Lululemon outfits, grinning through it.
Is there no music?
There's a little bit of music.
Oh, okay.
But it's like kind of low. Oh. And yeah.
You've got me so intrigued. Is it the, this is going to take us off for a second. Is it just the holding the poses and the burning, or is it the, because it's not a lot of weight, it's bands, right? So what's the painful part of it?
For me, it's like my body does not have the muscle capacity to execute these moves, because your body is moving in a way that is just not, not like lifting a weight. You're working new muscles. And so half of the pain is the fact that like, they're telling me to put it on the heaviest springs because everyone's been doing this for 2-3 years. And my muscle hasn't been woken up since I was in the womb. So you're working these muscles that you're not used to, and they're putting it on these really hard resistance that everyone else seems to be able to do. And it's, you can't be quick through it. You have to be slow, and you have to pulse, and then you have to do the, it's just a lot. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that I'm not a Pilates princess. I am a Pilates popper, the way I've been doing these moves. It's really sad. And I had to talk myself through some of these moves because I was in so much pain through some of these exercises that I had to remember some advice I had gotten in therapy, where I kind of have to picture my mind as a garden. And sometimes you have to water your mind with words. Like, you have to tell yourself things to be able to start believing them. And to me, that has always sounded very woo-woo. I grew up in a very like gruff family where it was just kind of like
grin and bear it,
get things done. And words of affirmation, I wouldn't say were very
were abundant in this environment. Not to like hate on my childhood by any means, but like talking yourself up was like not the way to go. It was almost like talk yourself down so that you're motivated to do better. And so I'm sitting there in the scrambled egg position, which is as bizarre as it sounds, where you're like on all fours and then you've got your leg out and you've got to swing it back and forth all while you've got the resistance band on.
Like you're peeing on a fire hydrant?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then there's the fire hydrant one that you got to do right after it. And I'm just talking to myself and I'm like, you can do this, Abby. You are strong. You are capable. You are fit. And it was so weird. Like the more I talked to myself and the less like obscenities I screamed under my breath, like the easier the move became. And I was like, wouldn't you know?
It's crazy what happens when you're kind to yourself.
It's crazy what happens when you don't degrade yourself for the sake of motivation.
So,
that was a ball.
I've read a lot of books and watched a lot of videos about this very thing. Also, it's like your body doesn't know it's a lie. So when you say something to yourself, your body believes it. So that's why you shouldn't be self-deprecating. And if you want to have positive results, you have to believe in what you're saying, and that's how your body reacts. It is very woo-woo.
So it's very, very woo-woo, but it worked. I mean, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm like crying in pain from doing the scrambled egg move, and then all of a sudden, it feels a little bit easier. So note to self, say a couple nice words to your mind so that it can flourish and grow.
If you get into the right/wrong algorithm, there are experiments done with people in the gym, and the scientists will say, when you're doing these lifts, think negatively, like you're having a really hard time and you just want to get out of here. And the weight is so much heavier. And then they ask them to think positive thoughts that I can see my muscles growing. I know this is good for me. And it's so much easier to handle the exact same weight just with that mind tweak.
Yep. So water your mind today, kiddos. It's going to work.
Hey, The Burt Show.
How comfortable would you be if you were put in a situation where you were forced to watch your spouse grieve one of their exes? That is the question. And one of my favorite things about radio is when I come in with a topic or a question that I just think everybody's going to be on one side of it and this is going to be easy. And I find out that everybody was on a different side. And that's what happened on my podcast In the Moment, where Katie and myself and my dude Keon were having this debate. And this debate went viral online, which got this question going. I found this video on Pictures Folders on Twitter. And to break it down for you on what you're going to hear, there's a guy sitting on the couch. And he clearly, I guess, is having a moment where his wife walks in and she sees him having this moment. And she asks him what's wrong with him. And he answers, my ex just passed away.
What's wrong with you?
I'm good.
What we gonna eat? What's wrong with you?
Man, they just called me. One of my friends called and told me that my ex passed away. So.
Okay, and?
What's your mean, and?
I mean, and, like. Sorry. Why? Yeah. Then why would you see your sad because of that?
Girls died 15 minutes ago.
So you had 15 minutes to do all the sad shit before I got here.
I think you should go with the girl.
You can still go with her. You can go with her now. I ain't finna sit here and look at you sad because somebody you used to go with. You can go with her right now. Who got the body?
Damn, I just lost a good friend of mine.
Okay.
You don't even care.
So
okay. That's tough.
I got questions.
Uh-huh, because yeah. Believe it or not, online was split.
Split?
Yeah.
What are more details here? Like, not that it even, I don't think, matters, but what are the details?
So that's all you get from that clip. But what it appears happened is his ex died about 15 minutes before his wife walked in the room. Now, he wasn't crying, but he was obviously sad.
He was remorseful.
And she felt like.
That's not the right word there.
Uh-uh. He was sad.
Yeah. He was mourning.
Yeah. He was having a moment of mourning.
Yeah.
And she felt like you should have done that on your own. And that's what the general consensus seemed to be online. And also on my podcast, when I was shocked that everybody felt like if you are going to grieve an ex in a relationship, especially a marriage, then you got to find time to do that on your own. You cannot grieve on your current partner's shoulders over someone else.
But it sounded like he was grieving on his own, but she just happened to come home.
Either way, this is one of the most immature things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it is.
So if my girlfriend comes in and one of her exes that she was close to, by the way, was this an ex By marriage or just an ex-girlfriend or?
He just said girlfriend. He said his girlfriend died, his old girlfriend died 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's shocking.
It's a loss of life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not your place as the partner to judge your partner's feelings. They're at a low point. Take your ego out of it. At the end of the day, the person that you're closest to right now is hurting. So get your jealousy and your ego out of it and support her.
So are there limits to that?
Support him.
What's that?
Support him.
Support him or her. Yeah, yeah, I was thinking my girlfriend, but
yeah.
Are there levels to it in that situation? Do you give your partner a certain amount of time to grieve and get it over with? Is there a point where you would feel like, okay, mm-hmm. this is going pretty far now?
Sure.
Yeah, of course there is. Like if we're still like a month in and he's crying himself to sleep every night, I'm like, you need to talk to a counselor about this.
I guess I need to know more of a definition because the definition does change of mourning. Okay, so if Amanda's ex-husband passed away and the father of her child, she should mourn for months.
Yeah, right? That's different for sure.
Without me getting jealous or even only supporting. But is it a boyfriend of hers from years ago that is just shocking, then you got a day.
You got 24 hours. 48 like Jack most. Bauer.
Give her at least a weekend. Okay?
You are on the clock.
I think for me, it was just the callousness of it.
Yeah, she
like
was pretty cold.
Her coming in so, you call it, she either came in cold or she came in hot and was just so dismissive of his feelings. And I think too, because of like, I feel like the state of the world, human life is just so disregarded and there isn't like a true appreciation anymore, which just like goes into like, we can go down the path of gun violence, et cetera. But like somebody died. Mm. So like put a little respect on the body is how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, if my man is crying over some other woman, like, I'm going to feel some type of way about it.
I get it.
But I'm not throwing hands over it. Like, I'm not going to make a big fuss about it unless it's, like, 6 months down the line. I'm like, okay, well, maybe you should go back to the grave digger up and be with her if you don't want to be with me. But I've always thought the saddest part of a breakup is sort of the loss of friendship. Like, that's a really close friend of yours. Mm-hmm. And if they dated for an extended period of time, it's okay to be sad because that's your friend that is now gone. But that being said, you got 2 weeks. That's it.
You know, I think there's a broader conversation here, and it's one that I brought up a couple of days ago in which I really saw growth in myself, in that when you are in a relationship and it's the right relationship, this is a team. So sometimes your feelings take a back seat. The bottom line here is her man was really, really hurting. So her ego should be out the window for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because her man is hurting.
Yeah, like
you, you see the person you love, and he was obviously in pain. By the way, recording this is very weird, but I'm not going to try.
I don't think they recorded it on purpose.
Okay.
They just happened to be filming. I think they were like in a room that they normally record. It didn't appear as if someone was recording it
like
on purpose.
Like a blink camera or something?
Right. Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. So in that case, like if I came home and I found my husband, who I love, in a state of grief and mourning and distress, the last thing I'm going to do is add more distress on right. him. Mm. If anything, I want to alleviate that. Like the first words out of your mouth should be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then give them time to process. And like you said, I get it. Like you see the guy, like you want to make sure that, well, I hope he cries harder than that when I die. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things. But you do, you got to put yourself in check for the person you love. Yeah. And it was so hurtful.
Well, it also communicates that men's feelings don't matter. And I feel like women, and I'm guilty of this all the time, is that we kind of feel like sometimes men shouldn't have feelings. So when you're crying about another woman, we're like, don't feel like that. Just simply stop crying.
Well, she said, you already had 15 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, baby. Take all the time you need so long as it's less than 30 minutes. It's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.